God, my win column has far more strokes in it than my loss column. I concluded long ago there are only two types of financial advisors. Those who say what they think, or those who say what they think you want to hear, and it sells. The industry is full of the latter, but I'm very proud to be a long-standing member of the former. What I'm about to discuss will only be taken seriously by a minority who hears it. To those who don't, they will end up delirious when it's all said and done. This outlook is not for today, nor tomorrow, next week, or even next month. But if there's still anyone who invests past their nose and still considers long-term counted in a matter of years, I can assure you for every one person who may become motivated to become a client of our planning group after listening to this, many more will not, and most likely not even listen to the end. And maybe even some clients may want to leave. It's been said, quote, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. End quote. Given all the economic, social, and political issues here and abroad, the level of complacency among both investors and the so-called professional advisors is at levels never seen before my eyes. And the dangers from this is many times greater than we saw in Navy 7, 99, and 2007. As 2021 drew to a close, I stated that America had worst ever economic, social, and political ever. For me and anyone who would agree, I felt most popular investment vehicles would either greatly underperform one another, an overwhelming choice that would be, or actually lose principal for the following 3 years, ending 12/31/24. I said for capital gains opportunity, choose gold over general equities and bonds. Despite what many beg to differ on, the fact is gold has outperformed the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 by more than a factor of 2, while bonds actually lost money during that time. With just a few months left, those results should remain similar. Because my overall view has worsened, I believe for most now, capital preservation must outweigh capital appreciation. The focus going forward is not on how much one can make, but how much one doesn't lose that will separate them from the winners from the losers. Yes, each of us can determine how much of the capital risk we're willing to take, since I am a riverboat gambler like me, who's always tossing the dice. Most should not follow that. However, erring on the side of caution now, so one ends up a live chicken versus a dead duck, to me, is the most worthy advice I believe people can take in a general assessment. I never met two investors exactly alike, so the standard asset allocation most firms dish out are really nothing more than cookie cutter approaches that I always avoid. What I do believe most can operate under is a belief will be far more challenging to see similar returns from equities and bonds like we have for the previous 4 decades. Even gold, which is basically doubled in price from when I first started speaking about it for capital appreciation, will be far more challenged to double again. And if it does, surely will have gotten worse, not better. I will discuss gold, other metals, and mining shares in another podcast. Now, there are 5 key factors that I've been speaking about that greatly contribute to my abundance of caution for the that most should take as an approach. And now, more than ever, they become fact deadly serious for those who won't understand them or appreciate them or act upon the number one remains the number one that it's been for quite a while. And that's the level of our debt. The Congressional Budget Office says that our debt now at $35 trillion is to hit $54 trillion in less than 10 years. But here's news for you. Hope you're sitting down. Our debt isn't $35 trillion. It's $156 trillion. There's a link below in this blog podcast that explains that. Make sure you look at it. When you understand it and see where we're really indebted, you can understand why questioning even the ability to pay the interest is going to become challenging before too long. Higher taxes and less government services are a gimme. I don't care what the party is or saying it, that's the future. It may not be in this election, but we can't go too many elections more without much higher taxes and lessening government services. No matter what side of the aisle you're on. Number two issue, retirement and aging crisis. The 2024 survey by Alliance Life Insurance found that nearly two-thirds of Americans now are more concerned about running out of money than dying. This is an increase from just 2022, that was just 57%. That is a concern that really weighs on people quite heavy. You have to understand the U.S. population is aging faster than ever. 100 years ago, one out of every 20 Americans were considered a senior citizen. By 50 years ago, that share had doubled. New U.S. Census projections now estimate that share will soon double again to where one out of every five Americans will spend more on older seniors than ever before, and less money that was expected to be transferred on to the younger generation will occur. Nearly 70% of older adults are going to need long-term care services. I cannot stress when you have 65% of Americans working paycheck to paycheck, the crisis for retirement and all the thoughts of everybody living that last part of their life in some sort of semi-luxury is not going to exist for the majority of Americans, and those who where won't exist are going to be calling on government to do more when the government and government has less and less. The third issue that we have is an immigration crisis. Now, I am not talking about the potential of terrorism and the crime that's coming from it, but the financial costs. Is an article that I posted. We've already spent just as a government in 1 year, the federal government, not states and cities, $150 billion more than whatever we made on them being here. I keep telling everybody it's a false premise that they keep talking about how it's a net positive and it's good for the economy. It would be good for the economy if most of those people came with something more than their shirts on their back. But that's all they have. So the cost will only add to the crisis of finances that we have in America, both on the federal, state, and local level. One other thing about the immigration that really troubles me the most, and I would hope it would trouble most other Americans. Recently in Massachusetts, they killed the plan to prioritize homeless vets over migrants. Democrats voted down a bill that would have put veterans ahead of migrants when it comes to housing. If we don't treat our veterans as the number one priority in America, America is going down the tubes. Sorry for the people that don't like hearing that. I really believe that's a fact of life. The fourth factor, I've talked about it. It's the biggest blunder that you are going to see that Wall Street is created in the modern era, and that is the underestimation or lack of caring or no caring about the formation of the BRIC nations. I spoke about it enough times. I'll just put it in a very simple manner. We now have 58 countries that formally want to be part of the BRICS, and several dozen are considering it. These are countries that are going to form the purposely trade among themselves and away from the United States, and also move away from the United States currency and also the international system of how they trade and form their own. How the heck does that benefit the United States? How does Wall Street not take into effect how much less world commerce we will be doing as a nation in the years ahead and the impact on it? Not a peep. Trust me, it's gonna be the biggest blunder. And five, the biggest problem of all, because this is where people would go to fix these four that I mentioned and a few I'll mention right after that. And that's the political paralysis in the United States. Let's face facts. Neither side of the aisle can work with the other side anymore. Not only that, there is a fraction within each party that's moving further away from the center of that body. That's the group that's going to need to come together to fix these and these other few issues that I'm going to mention, including crime, state and cities dire financial conditions, underfunded pensions, poor infrastructure. I am telling you, the infrastructure problem in the United States is acute. It's the least discussed and is going to be another suddenly people realize one of many crises that we're facing. Housing affordability, Islamic takeover, and civil unrest. Now, I want to talk before I get to the end part about the financial law. Something I really want to speak to people that are like me that have gray hair and no hair at this point in time. The stock market of today is nothing. I repeat, nothing like was when I first came into it over 40 years ago. In 1984, 90%, almost 90% of the trading was done among retail investors. Most of those people were buying and selling stocks to be part ownerships in businesses. Those days are long gone. Over half of money in the markets now are in passive funds. They're not being actively managed. The manager, he or she, is not trying to decide to sell this stock, buy this one, go into this sector, go out of that sector. They're just tracking types of index funds and other types. And so there isn't a lot of action. They're only going to move when their market moves one way, big way, or another. That's a positive for now, but if it turns down, they're all going to rush to the door at the same time to get out. The other issue about that is that remaining half, about 80% of it is trading through some sort of computer algorithm program. It may be trading just off of news events with words in it that automatically make buys and sells, or it may be very sophisticated that involves futures, options, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's become a high-tech casino, the stock market. It is priority placed for people going to buy pot ownerships themselves of businesses. You must take that into your account if you're investing more than in a passive way in the stock market. And finally, the financial advisor community, it's a generation that has grown up on driving on one-way streets. There's never been any period of time where suddenly investors were not in the mood to keep doing things and be active. We've had sharp fall-offs, but they have not lasted long, and so therefore everybody seems to think in the end the Fed comes out with its tow truck, it throws some rocks on the hole in the ground, and everybody sails and goes forward again happily ever after. I believe those days are behind us, and once this industry will have to face dealing with a two-sided market, it'll get overdone on the downside because of lack of experience. Now let me just finish up about the financial law that I keep talking about. You got to become cash flow positive. You can't spend more than you take in. I keep saying this, it hasn't changed. Even with families we've most recently seen in our planning group, 7 out of 10 families are spending more than they're taking in. They're doing this through debt, they're doing this through car leases and car loans, they're doing this by not funding retirement plans or putting repairs into their homes so they can live a lifestyle above what they can afford. They are heading for a huge problem. Work on becoming cash flow positive. Debt is the dirtiest four-letter word. Whether you believe in scripture as a word of God or an historical book only, that book has been more used than any other book, and that book doesn't have a positive comment about debt. It warns about the issues, many of which we're seeing now. Please, for someone that early on in his career thought it was important to keep up with the Joneses, forget about the Joneses. The Joneses is a figment of your imagination because even if it looks like they're living well, if you get behind their closed doors, you'll see they're not doing so well emotionally and otherwise. Focus on less is more. Become more self-sufficient and be less dependent on government, because government is not going to be able to provide the same types of services our parents and grandparents were used to, and even we were until a few years ago. It's going to get worse. Now, it's been said that I tend to be a year or two early on average. My response is simple. I'd rather be a year or two early than a day too late. In my 40 years, I've concluded there are only three types of investors. Those who make things happen, those who watch what happened, and those who wonder what happened. The choice one makes now literally could be between a decent life or a slow death. I hope you choose life. God bless.